This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What's going on? Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, is produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. It is September 8th. We are inching closer and closer. We are one day away from the opening of the 2026 NFL campaign. We do have some propage that will be popping out at the end of the program. Another pick for tomorrow's game. I also have a pick for Thursday's game in terms of a prop pick. I actually have a spread and a total pick. I'm going to try this out this year. I'm only going to pluck out one or two a week. I mean, that's my theme this year. I'm going to be very, very selective. But of course, here at the top of the show, we'll catch you up on all the news and notes coming down the line. Practice reports coming in a mad flurry over here on a Tuesday afternoon. Well, also, I think we'll have time in this first segment. You know, I'm starting my research, so we will pop out. These may be leans. These are not going to be official picks, but I may talk you into one or two of them, and I will pop out, five that I like on the board for week number one. They're kind of lower end players with low totals, like 34.5 rushing yards, 2.5 receptions. And I even have a 10.5 receiving yard potential prop that I'm going to be in for. So stay tuned for that. We'll kind of wrap up the preseason today. And then tomorrow it's all going forward, weekly action, of course. We'll take a look at my picks for the NFL awards, the Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year award. My producer, Mr. Michael Cohen, is fairly obsessed with my pick for Comeback Player of the Year. I believe it's 22-1. Well, also, it is Tuesday. We're very used to our guy, Stephen O'Rourke, on a Tuesday. He's in the data film room mining gems, hopefully. Data, Fantasy Points Data 2.0 is launching this week. It may have launched this morning. I know we did a big video on it. Unbelievable. It is the most powerful data analysis tool in the world. I say that. I know that sounds hyperbolic, but I believe it to be true, and I do believe it will help me with my prop suggestions this year. So it's going to basically make my research a lot faster now. It's absolutely incredible. Hopefully we'll be able to kind of take a look into what it's all about. But I mean, for example, I was looking at, you know, the Patriots receiving core real quick. You can go in there and say, okay, give me Hunter Henry's data and all his targets, his routes, his snaps, his production, his yards per route run. When Stephon Diggs wasn't on the field last year, which is obviously important because Stephon Diggs will not be on the field for the New England Patriots. So that's just a quick example. But Stephen O'Rourke has got some data points here relating to week one propage. And then I will make those early NFL bets. I've got one spread pick. I've got one total pick. And I've got the prop that we popped out yesterday, Ramondre Stevenson, that's over 58.5. We'll kind of rehash that one. And I have another one for tomorrow night's game. And then I have one for Thursday's game. We're just kind of, you know, letting it all kind of trickle to us. That's what we're going to do this year. I know last year I honestly got a little upset at, you know, losing. So, you know, a lot of them by like that much. So I started at the end of the year. I'm like, yeah, let's do eight props. I mean, that's pretty outrageous, quite frankly. So again, my goal is to kind of really narrow it down and hopefully hit like 60%. I mean, that should be my goal. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. I know 60% is pretty damn good. For the record, last year, I don't even know what it was on this show, but I put out 511 props and it was 55%, which isn't terrible, but 511, I got to simmer down with that. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, be as patient as I possibly can. And you got to check a lot of boxes, basically, for me to pick you this year as a prop. All right. News, notes, nuggets. Our producer, Michael Cohen, I think he sent me a text at 6 a.m. He was so excited about this. Now, I'm kidding about that. But he's fired up because the New England Patriots have made Christian Gonzalez the highest paid cornerback in NFL history. He may not want to hear my opinion, and I haven't totally studied Christian Gonzalez, but I do think the name and the reputation is just a tick better than the actual player. I just haven't seen him as like a shutdown corner. Of course, not many guys out there like that anymore, like Darrell Revis. But, you know, we kind of view Christian Gonzalez as a shutdown guy. I'm not sure he's a shutdown guy. Very good player, obviously very talented and all that. Otherwise, we have Clay Kubiak, the 49er offensive coordinator, saying today that George Kittle looks good for week number one. So George Kittle, a medical marvel, coming off that Achilles, not a traditional Achilles, at least the recovery process has been a little cutting edge here for George Kittle. Nick Bosa also going to play per the head coach Raheem Morris. I saw our guy Adam Schefter tweeting about that yesterday. Raheem Morris, the dude literally missed his 50th birthday. Got on a plane, he was 49, landed, he was 50, and the day in which he turned 50, that was in the air. So that's pretty wild stuff there. Jeremiah Love for the Arizona Cardinals. Head coach Mike LaFleur said he feels good about Love's ankle and his chances of playing in week one against the Chargers. That is a massive spread. That was at 10.5, 11.5 points. Torrey Horton for the Seahawks, kind of a forgotten man. He was limited in practice on Monday. He's been limited with that hamstring for a little while, missed some time in camp. Speaking of missing time in camp, Emeka Ogbuka did practice on Monday with the toe issue, so he should be ready to go. I don't know about ready, but he should be in the starting lineup, which is probably the most important thing. The Bucs also list my guy, Jalen McMillan, as a starting receiver on the team's depth chart. Now, I guess the only question is, who will play in 12 personnel if they do that? They do have a couple of good tight ends. Would Chris Godwin be on the field in two wide receiver sets, or would he step off? Probably Godwin, but I'd rather have Godwin in the slot at this juncture, at this stage of his career. Also, ESPN's Dan Graziano said it sounds like Malik Nabers will play week one against the Cowboys. Also, for Chicago, a couple of bummers here. Not the end of the world just yet. It's only Monday, but Roman Dunze with the leg was not seen practicing on a Monday. It's a weird week because normally they don't practice on Monday. Kyle Manungai, though, dealing with that knee injury, a hyperextended knee, has been out for like 3-4 weeks there for the Chicago Bears. Looks like he is trending toward playing in week number one. All right, before we go to the break, I have started my research. And there were a couple that really stood out to me. So let's pop them out. These are not going to be official picks, although they may be later on in the week. First up, we got Chris Rodriguez. Now, I was team Chris Rodriguez. There was a report today. Bashal Tutin has been announced as the number one running back. I mean, not surprised, as a starter. By the way, it really doesn't matter who starts at running back. You could be in there just for the first play, and then they could rotate your ass out. It usually matters who starts at wide receiver. But not necessarily at running back. But it's a 34.5 number here. DraftKings -110. The Jags are 8.5-point home favorites against the lowly Browns. And if Leon Cohen doesn't use Chris Rodriguez as the closer, it does beg the question, why'd you pick up the guy? I know he had him in Kentucky, and he likes him. I like him, too. He looks like a Jag. Jag meaning just a guy, but he is a Jag, actually, ironically or unironically. But his data was absolutely outstanding, yards after contact and all that. So I do think he can get to 35 yards. Cade Otton, over 3.5 receptions. This is plus money, plus 118. We got the highest total on the board here against the Bengals with 50 points. The Bucs are 3.5-point underdogs. So, and Ibuka has been a little bit banged up. What do I call him? The fantasy ottoman. If you need some support, if your guys are hurt, you can, you know, rest your legs on the ottoman, a.k.a. Cade Otton. So I kind of like that one. Rashad White, I mean, come on. over 2.5 receptions. DC is a 5.5 road underdog. Offensive line is a major issue. Rashad, though, is great in pass pro. I mean, who are they going to put out there to protect his boy, Jaden Daniels? Devon Valet. Try the Valet. I hope you do. I hope you did in your drafts. I know some people, certain people, perhaps Mr. Cohen, who still have drafts tonight, I would suggest very late, Mr. Devon Valet. Over 37.5 receiving yards. That's minus 114. We got a 49-point total in this game. The Saints are 7-point underdogs. They are thin at receiver after Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson. And now, finally, I'm looking at this one. I'm eyeballing it. This is a weird one. Remember Justice Hill? He played for the Ravens last year. They actually signed him to a new contract a couple of years ago. Over 10.5 receiving yards, minus 110. It's in Indy. You prefer Derrick Henry on grass. We also have a 47-point total and a higher scoring affair. And he actually, when he played last year, he hit this over in 6 of his 9 games last year. When we return, we'll take a look at my award picks, comeback player of the year, MVP, and more. But first, most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea. Matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guy at ungambled.com/VSiN. That's ungambled.com/VSiN. Use the promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. When we return, my picks for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player, and all that good stuff here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. We'll talk week one data and propage with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data in the next segment. But as promised, it is time for me to pop out NFL award props. These are tough, obviously. They're usually, you know, kind of long shots. We did get Tet McMillan right last year for Offensive Rookie of the Year, but I think we fell short with every other pick. But I feel like we're going to get two of these. And if we do, then we're going to be profitable. And we'll start with the MVP. I mean, obviously, Josh Allen is the obvious choice. And I'm optimistic. I just saw a little news blurb about my guy DJ Moore, basically someone, I think it was someone from The Athletic who covers the club. Basically, I'm paraphrasing here. Get ready, DJ Moore. You're going to be a busy man. And I love that. Josh Allen is the odds-on favorite. Nah, plus 600. Lamar, I considered Lamar. I mean, Lamar is breaking in a new offensive coordinator, Declan Doyle, and every time he breaks in a new offensive coordinator, Monken, the last one, he wins the MVP. The books are pretty optimistic on the Ravens. So I did seriously consider that. Joe Burrow, I can't do it. I was a huge Joe Burrow guy coming out. If you don't believe it, you can check the Twitter machine. When LSU won the national championship, I happen to see that. I see a lot of that team. I'm like, Joe Brady, he is the next Tom Brady, basically. I'm conflating names here, Joe Brady. But yeah. I'm kind of over it, though. I mean, I still respect Burrow's game. I think he might be the best pocket quarterback in the NFL and all that, but it's the Bengals, too. Zach Taylor stinks. Patrick Mahomes coming off the injury, not feeling great. Drake May, I like that, but, you know, they're coming off the Super Bowl, the hangover. So, to me, Matt Stafford, I gave him some consideration as well. And, of course, Dak Prescott. I mean, Dak Prescott might be the obvious one here in terms of the lower guys on the list. He looks like the number 7 favorite. I'm going to go Justin Herbert, though, at plus 1,000. I know he's Justin Herbert, and, you know, we default to being underwhelmed with Justin Herbert and the Chargers. I wasn't even a big Herbert guy coming out. I thought he had a little bit of a see it and throw it guy, you know, some inconsistencies there. And of course he comes out and balls out and I'm like, oh, I guess I got that wrong. But then he has had some issues here. Certainly a very good player. We're a little worried about the center situation. Hopefully the second round pick Slaughter can pick up the slack for Biotish, but we got Joe Alt back. I mean, that's huge at right tackle. Rashawn Slater, it might be a little iffy to open the season, but we operated last year and Herbert was still like seventh in accurate throw percentage, despite playing behind a sieve of an offensive line. We're going to be better than last year, no doubt. We're going to get presumably a full year of Aaron Hampton, so the offense should be cooking with gas. I love the additions. They add a guy like Brennan Thompson, who ran the fastest 40, to be your shot play guy. He's looked good. He'll probably catch like 11 balls this year, but for maybe like 21 yards. Love Ladd McConkey. Trey Harris is a nice little Swiss Army knife guy. I mean, he could do a lot. He was out there blocking a lot last year. And, of course, I love Charlie Kohler. He's the number one tight end, but they also have Aronde Gadsden and David Njoku. It tells me they can beat teams in a variety of ways, very multiple. So I like the Chargers and Herbert. Next up, it is Offensive Player of the Year. And I don't know, this one seems too easy, quite frankly. Now, look, it's a higher payout and all that, so it's not the odds-on favorite. In fact, he's like seventh on the board. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs would be the obvious chalky choice. Bijan, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka. I'm not going to do Justin Jefferson because he's coming off a bad year, and I'm certainly not going to do Christian McCaffrey. Barkley is viable. JSN. I might go JSN, but I went back and I looked, and we haven't had a repeat winner of this since Marshall Faulk. Like 2.5 decades ago. So my pick is Jonathan Taylor. Hello. He probably would have been right there if the season ended in Daniel Jones's last game. I mean, he fell off, still led the NFL in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. He looked unbelievable behind that offensive line. And I've talked to LaDainian Tomlinson about that, not the name drop or anything, but you know, it's about the game slowing down and diagnosing the defense pre-snap and just running with more patience. I mean, this guy last year for 3 months at least optimized every touch, was unbelievable, and still can move. Doesn't even look like the guy's got, you know, damn near over 1,000 touches on the resume. He looked unbelievable. So I love me some Jonathan Taylor at plus 220. And next up, we have got Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, I mean, not something I spend a ton of time on. Obviously, Myles Garrett would be your chalky pick. My pick last year was Will Anderson. He's the second favorite this year. So, you know, I guess I was pretty close with that. You got guys like Nick Benito, Max Crosby, TJ Watt. I don't trust them. The market seemed to love the Detroit Lions. I have questions, but I know they have a really good schedule. So how about Aiden Hutchinson at plus 750, an outstanding player, seems like an outstanding human being. It would probably be good pub for the league. It was devastating when they lost him a couple of years ago, and he's come back really, really well. Offensive Rookie of the Year. This one's easy. It ain't Jeremiah Love on the Arizona Cardinals. I think that Tyler Allgeier is going to get enough work to, you know, prevent Love from putting up massive numbers. Sure as hell, in my opinion, not going to be Carnell Tate. The vibes aren't very good for the Titans this summer. Fernando Mendoza is not going to play until like midseason, if that. Otherwise, Mekhi Lemon is going to open up the season, you know, behind, given all the time he missed this on. Stribling would be a good sleeper, but the obvious pick is Jadarian Price. I mean, he's going to get 15 to 20 opportunities. Well, let's just say 15 plus tomorrow night. For the world champion Seattle Seahawks. They put him on ice when he had that little lower body injury scare. They gave him the veteran treatment. They were like, we've seen enough. He was incredible the first 2 weeks of training camp. Might not carry over, you know, against NFL defenses aiming to put him down here, but I thought the footwork was incredible. I mean, his feet are really good. And that's where you look when you're looking at running backs. Next up, defensive player of the year, basically. I'm going to go David Bailey. I mean, from all reports, this guy has been unblockable for the New York Jets, and he's a beast. They nailed the pick, quite frankly. Hasn't played a game yet, but I'm going to go David Bailey. Reuben Bain looks like he's going to be a serious disruptor as well. There is no doubt about it. Next up, I am pretty damn high on the New Orleans Saints. I thought the coaching staff did a great job. Brandon Staley got that defense to literally middle of the pack, 16th in points allowed. I don't think anybody saw that, but we probably did see Kellen Moore having success because that's what he does. Philadelphia and Dallas. I'm a big Kellen Moore guy. When in doubt, I trust the play caller and the offensive designer. And I think Tyler Shuck, our guy Adam Schefter, on the show last week, we were sharing a brain on Tyler Shuck, and he's an old head like me. He's been around watching football and covering the league for multiple decades. I'm like, yeah, this guy's good. So I think Kellen Moore is going to get the Saints to a pretty darn good place. And by the way, I do have an interesting pick on the New Orleans Saints in terms of my lone spread pick for the week. Last but certainly not least is our producer Michael Cohen's favorite pick. And that is comeback player of the year. Now, that is always a little bit of a complicated thing. Certainly, we're looking at injured guys. Will Mahomes get it? I mean, maybe. Obviously, he's a darling of the league. I don't think Kyler is going to get it, even though I think Kyler is going to play well. I think he'll be in the running. Jaden Daniels, can't do it because of that Laremy Tunsil left tackle situation. Aaron Donald, I mean, come on. Now, we're not giving it to a guy who retired and then came back because, well, he's looking to win another ring. I got Michael Parsons next. He's not going to play for a while. So George Kittle is certainly, he's going to play week one. He's beloved. I could absolutely see that. But I'm going Cam Scataboo at plus 2,800. He was talking about, you know, thinking about retiring last year, but he is the starting running back for the New York Giants, obviously a big media market. So I like that pick there of Cam Scataboo. I certainly like Stephen O'Rourke. He'll be on the other side. But first, the wait is finally over. College football is back and the NFL season kicks off tomorrow. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, fresh best bets from VSiN's experts. You'll also receive the college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get started today for just $9.99. Save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. Stephen O'Rourke, week one data coming at you next year on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com, and from the aforementioned website on the Progressive Guest Line, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst over at fantasypoints.com. If you're really into data, go on YouTube, check out the Fantasy Points YouTube page, and there's a great video with our guy Brett Whitefield and Scott Barrett breaking down Fantasy Points data 2.0. It literally will blow your mind, like I'm sure it has blown Steven's cranium. So what's up, Steve? How are you? You ready to rock and roll, I see.
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. It's exciting. Start of the season tomorrow, and yeah, today with the release of Data Suite 2.0, that's been a big day too. I've had the privilege of being able to use it for like the past couple months now, and I can honestly say that like whatever, however good you anybody thinks it is, it's better than that. Like any tool that you can think of, these guys have come up with, it's insane.
Like for me, it really is crazy for me, because I started in this business when you were like negative 12 in like 1995. I know I'm exaggerating a little bit there. So I think back to 1995 or the 90s and the analysis that I did and compared it to now. And it's completely laughable. Like, it is like literally another hemisphere, another dimension. I don't even know what universe. It's crazy. But anyway. Yeah. Let's get into it. And, you know, using just rudimentary research in terms of like going back and looking at box scores, Jordan Love only really made one start last year against the Minnesota Vikings, and it didn't go well. He only threw for 139 yards. That's where we're starting here with an actionable stat and data point on Jordan Love in Minnesota against that nasty defense.
Yeah, he's in three games over 2024, 2025, he's averaged about 230 yards with that really bad game last year. He averages about 6.8 yards per attempt. He has an 85 passer rating, success rate right around 50%. I just think B-Flow is going to come in. I think the Minnesota defense has improved, and I think it'll take Green Bay a second to get things acclimated with that receiving group, as well as the fact that their run game could kind of see a downtick. A big part of their pass game was play action. And if their run game isn't working because of not having Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd not looking incredible in the preseason, could just lead to some dicey things where Minnesota gets to pin their ears back, really, you know, lock in on their pass rush because Green Bay is not able to keep them off balance with play action. So I think his numbers right around, his over-under is right around 240, 249 and a half, and I would go under on that.
Yeah, my man might get Van Ginkled by Mr. Andrew Van Ginkel. And I do think that Dallas Turner is an interesting player. It's a former number one pick. He's been, I guess, a little bit of a disappointment, but he's flashed a little bit for me. If Dallas Turner is ready to truly contribute, then I would say look out for the Minnesota Viking defense. Next up, you've got Chris Olave at your Lions, and we got a big fat point total in this one. So I feel like Tyler Shuck is going to put up some numbers here. What are you seeing with Olave?
Yeah, his line's sitting right around 76.5 on FanDuel right now. And Chris Olave against single high coverage last year, which is mainly what the Lions ran, he averaged 2.46 yards per route running at a 32.5% target share. I think that the Lions offense, Lions team in general, is healthy. I think that offense is going to be able to put up numbers this year. So I think New Orleans is going to have to really go toe-to-toe with them, which means putting the ball in the air a decent amount. Olave is one of the best separators in the league, and I think that, you know, just with the way Calvin Shepard plays defense in Detroit, liking to kind of put his defensive backs on an island, I think Olave is going to generate a lot of one-on-one matchups, and he wins those most of the time. So I really think that Shuck's going to look his way quite a few, and he's going to start the year off strong against single high coverage and probably hit over, I would even say over 100 yards would be not that crazy.
Yeah. Well, this is how deep I've already gone into this, by the way. I'm real high on Kellen Moore. And I was just curious. I went back. I was like, when was the last time Kellen Moore played the Lions? It was 2023. I know it was Aaron Glenn then, but pretty much the same scheme, right? In Detroit?
Yeah, generally pretty similar scheme. They like to go man heavy. They like to be super aggressive. They, you know, he definitely comes from and has built his defense similarly to what Aaron Glenn had in Detroit.
Yeah. So the last time Kellen Moore, and granted, he was with the Chargers, faced this defense, Justin Herbert was 27 of 40 for 323 yards and 4 touchdowns. Next up, Brian Thomas Jr., a little BTJ action up against the Browns. What is the angle here with BTJ? Getting some good snaps and routes lining up inside, perhaps, or downfield?
Yeah, with this, I think I like his number. His number is sitting at 40.5 for receiving yard, or I think it's actually 36.5 is where his receiving over under is. So that to me is super low. And again, single high coverage, which obviously Cleveland had gone heavy man coverage in years prior. I think they go away from that a little bit with Schwartz leaving and them bringing in, I forget the name of their defensive coordinator, but he comes over from Atlanta. Atlanta didn't play as much man coverage, but they still like to lean single high pretty heavily. And last year, Brian Thomas Jr. led the Jaguars in target share against single high coverage and cover three, which is what Atlanta leaned heavily into last year as well. So I kind of think that's what the Browns will do. Like I said, Brian Thomas Jr. against single eye coverage, he had a 21.3% target rate. Against cover three, he was at about a 23% target share. And, you know, his numbers weren't as great. He was averaging right around 1.6, 1.7 yards per route run. But I think that with him coming into the season fully healthy, I think he's being undersold quite a bit. I do like Parker Washington, but just as much I do like Brian Thomas Jr., I think his as a deep threat, he's going to evolve. And I think over the middle, intermediate area, he's going to evolve too. I think that 40.5 line is a real, or 36.5, 40, somewhere around there. I think he probably gets into the 50-60 yard passing, because I think the Jaguars are going to have a lot of opportunities on offense. That Browns offense is tough, and the Jaguars defense is really good. They put a lot of pressure. So I think that it's just going to be a lot of opportunities for the Jaguars to have the ball on offense.
Mike Ruttenberg is the DC. I don't know a ton about him, quite frankly, there for Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, the vibes have been good on Brian Thomas Jr. all year, basically going back to the mini camps and all that. He knows he kind of had a bad year and all that. Now the chemistry with Trevor Lawrence seems to be improving on a monthly basis. Next up with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst over at fantasypoints.com on the X Machine at CallMeSteve07. Trey Tucker, it's like last man standing. It's like, will someone please step up and be our number one wide receiver? I know Jalen Naylor's there, and he played with Kirk Cousins for a season in Minnesota. He'll mostly be inside, I would imagine. But I have to default to Trent Tucker being the number one. So I think he's going to get targets, and you like him up against Miami. What do you see there?
Yeah, a big part of it is that Miami's defense is not that strong. Their secondary is pretty light. I think they're going to have to put a focus on locking down Brock Bowers. Kirk Cousins likes to target the slot against too high coverage, which is what Miami probably should lean more into a little bit this year with the change of defensive coordinator. I just think that Trey Tucker emerges as the number one threat, the number one receiver, not receiving threat, because I think that's Brock Bowers, but number one receiver threat out of that group of kind of just a hodgepodge of guys. He's got legit deep threat ability, and his line's sitting at about 40.5. I think with, you know, both of these defenses being kind of like not the greatest, and Kirk Cousins playing behind a little bit better of an offensive line this year, I think he's going to have an opportunity to, you know, look downfield a little bit more. And I think Trey Tucker is that guy that's going to kind of be the intermediate deep threat that opens up a lot of what's underneath and over the middle for Brock Bowers. So I think he probably sees, you know, towards double digit targets would be my guess. I bet you he sees probably 7 to 9 targets. And I think that he'll take advantage of that. And probably, I think that 40.5 line is really low and generous. And I think that he's going to go over that.
Real quick, not to throw you off, but do you have concerns as it relates to Brock Bowers, how the Raiders really don't have anyone at wide receiver? I mean, no offense to Trey Tucker. I mean, he's been solid, but I mean, come on, if Trey Tucker's your one, I mean, you might be in trouble. It's not looking like it's working out for Jack Besh. Obviously, the passing game should go through Bowers, but I think he'll be a bit of a mark man.
Yeah, he will, but I think that his ability to line up, like have a versatility of where he can line up, whether it's in the slot, out wide, at an inline position, true. I think that they'll be able to maneuver him enough. Kubiak's smart enough, and, you know, he kind of had similar, you know, better receiving options in Seattle, but like open up the game for JSN. And I think that he'll be able to scheme his way to be able to ensure that Brock Bowers is getting, you know, 10, 12 targets a game. And I think Brock Bowers is good enough that, you know, with that mobility, he'll get enough matchups against safeties, linebackers that he can win, you know, 7 times out of 10.
And of course, I talk too much and we're running out of time. We're literally down to 10, 15 seconds. You like Saquon Barkley up against DC. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles should be in complete control there. One stat on that one real quick.
Yeah, he averages like 130 yards a game against the Commanders, and they didn't do anything to beef up their defensive line. I think he goes roughshod against them again.
There it is, Stephen O'Rourke, Fantasy Points Data. Early week one bets coming at you next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
final segment here on a Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN. Shout out to Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. Good stuff there. I'll be in the data suite. I'm staying at the data suite over the next 4 months. I'm getting my mail forwarded there as well. Very good, comfortable couches and beds in the Fantasy Points data suite where we all crash out and sleep. No, I'm kidding there. We are up to the final segment where I have a nice little small collection of plays. I've got the one play we popped out on yesterday's show. I've got another one for tomorrow that I'm going to be officially in on. I've got one for Thursday, and I've got a spread pick and a total pick, and that should wrap up this program. Let's start with Ramondre Stevenson because we were a little rushed there. Is it 57.5? It's been bet up to 58.5, but I mean, I would still do it at 58.5. It's minus 111 is where we're at. Looks like it's minus 113 right now. I'm over here only actually 114 over on DraftKings. So, I mean, that might be a decent sign. It's the odds are getting worse, basically. And I haven't heard a damn thing about Trevion Henderson just yet. So we'll see what happens there. Because I'm surprised I'm not getting reports about today. But anywho, Seattle, nasty defense. Obviously, they were top seven in every meaningful category. So this is not the greatest spot for Ramondre, who, of course, in the big game, we had a good Super Bowl last year. It wasn't great. I think we were 8-5 or something like that. Ramondre was one of the losses. I thought the game would be a little closer. I didn't think it would get that out of hand. But now I think I feel pretty good about it because what do we have? A 3.5-point spread that's might be trending toward being bet down to 3. So it looks like the markets are kind of feeling the Patriots to give them a game. I think that bodes well. Seattle is breaking in, obviously, a new offensive coordinator, and they've tweaked the scheme. So they're not exactly in their comfort zone without Mr. Kubiak, who ran the offense for their Super Bowl run. Now, if there is a silver lining in terms of the data, here it is. I looked into it. Seattle was a little more giving on man and gap concept runs with a 48.8% success rate compared to only 43.3% for zone runs. And they also gave up 5 of their 6 rushing touchdowns on those runs and short yardage and all that. Ramondre averaged 4.94 yards per carry on those man gap runs last year compared to just 4.19 on the zone runs. He didn't hit this in the Super Bowl, so he didn't get it in his last game, but he did hit it in his 3 previous games. He was balling in the playoffs. We kept betting the over. I mean, we bet it every week, and it won every week until it didn't in the Super Bowl, but I do think Ramondre can get to this number. It might be close. We'll see about Trevion Henderson, but they really don't have much else. And by the way, the vibes are great on Ramondre. You want to kind of, now he did finish the season really strongly last year. So working in Trevion Henderson last year, all year, if anything, it kept Ramondre fresh, but he's a guy who does tend to get a little worn down. You like to, you know, if you're going to go in on him, do it early in the season. We're not exactly worried about fumbling. They have Corey Kiner is the other running back, and they just traded for him. Now they could elevate the dude off the practice squad. They also have Hassan Haskins. They could elevate Lan Larrison, who played a lot in the preseason out of Cal Davis. But really, let's be honest, there's not much behind Ramondre. So I think we can get there, especially if the game is close. I don't necessarily think Seattle's going to like pull away on the scoreboard. So I do think it's going to be close. So that's the one we were in on yesterday. I'd still play it, even though it's been bet up to 58.5. We got in at 57.5, of course. Last week, I was talking about it off air, I guess, when it was 42.5. I wish I got into that one, but we're in preseason mode last week. Next up, we have one for tomorrow's game. And I'm actually, no. We have one more for tomorrow's game. Yeah. Then we have one for Thursday's game. I'm going to go Hunter Henry. over 34.5 receiving yards at minus 110 over there on DraftKings. Last year in the Super Bowl, my top five props for the Super Bowl, we went 4-1. Unfortunately, I thought I had Cooper Kupp number one, but it looked like I think I had Henry number one, and that did not win. But 4-1, but I did like him for a reason. And all those reasons hold because same schemes, same coordinators, and all that good stuff. Seattle's defense, first and foremost, they allowed the sixth most receiving yards per game, 63.5, and the fourth most receptions per game, 6.2, to tight ends. Middle of the field is generally the area where you want to attack them. And I do think that's one of the reasons why our guy Brawley is on Demario Prop Douglas. I can see it totally. Seattle has been zone heavy. They run zone at a 76% clip, or they ran it last year. Nick Emenwori, I don't think he's played. I mean, come on. The dude was on crutches like 2 weeks ago, hasn't practiced. So that will, you know, if they had designs on switching it up and playing more man like they did in the playoffs, I don't know if they can do that with Emenwori. Keep in mind, they also lost Reek Woolen. So they're zone heavy, 76% rate. That's ideal for Hunter Henry. He has been a zone beater his whole career, much more so than man. And last year, he averaged a very strong 1.90 yards per route run against zone. A.J. Brown will be heavily targeted. He'll also command some attention away from Henry. Look, Drake May, that's been his guy. Basically, the first 2 years of Drake May's career, his guys have been Hunter Henry and Kayshon Booty. Booty is gone. Henry remains. He needed to get to 39.5 in the Super Bowl to hit this, but he did come close. Five targets, 3 for 31. And I also think, not for nothing, but Drake May was a little hurt last year. Next up, Christian McCaffrey. For Thursday's game, we're going to go over 4.5 receptions. His receiving line is 40.5, so I think the books clearly are expecting him to haul in at least four balls, over 4.5 at minus 113. CMC in this matchup last year caught 16 balls on 19 targets, 8 grabs in both games. His rushing was terrible. He had 22 carries for 57 in the first game, 2.6 yards per carry, 12 for 30 in the second, 2.5. San Fran is a 3.5 underdog with a higher total approaching 50 points, so I don't expect him to do much in the running game, and I think he'll have to do it in the passing game. All righty, final two items to pop out here. I've got an under, a total pick, and a spread pick. First up, I'm going to go Packers at Vikings under 46.5 at minus 112 on DK. These two teams combined for 48 points last year in two games. Now, granted, they sat everyone in week 18, but this tells you how the scheme matches up. Clayton Tune threw for 34 more yards than I did last year in that game. He only threw for 34. It's Kyler's first start. Green Bay's running game is in a major state of flux. And by the way, last year, only 3 of 16 games went over 47 points. So 81% of the games in week one went under this. I think the Vikings are going to come out and run the ball all day long. The Packers have lost Rashawn Gary and Quay Walker. Their O-line, by the way, in Green Bay is weaker. So that's a problem for Jordan Love, who only threw for 139 yards in his lone start. Next up, kind of teasing this all show, all week. Love the Saints. Saints at Lions. We're going to take the Saints plus 7 at minus 115. I mentioned Kellen Moore. Last time he faced this defense, same scheme. Not the same players, but basically the same scheme. Detroit won a slugfest against the Chargers. Justin Herbert was 27 of 40 for 323/4. I do think that bodes well for Tyler Shuck. I do think people are overreacting a little bit to the Lions' great schedule with all the indoor games. I think the offensive line is a question. Yeah, you got their number one pick there at right tackle, but we might have some issues there inside. They lost David Montgomery. They don't have much behind Jahmyr Gibbs. The receiving core is thin, and defensively, no more Brian Branch or Kirby Joseph. They're out. And then Brandon Staley was pretty damn solid last year. He had them at a respectable 16 points allowed. So I will take the Saints with the points. in that game. That's all I have for spread picks. I'm going to be very, very judicious and picky with the picks that I pop out there for spreads and totals. That is a wraparoni on this here program. Don't go anywhere. Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel is up next. Then it's VSiN's, or today on the show, VSiN's managing editor, Adam Burke, has his best bets for college football. That's Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern, followed by VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Matt Humans, all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll catch you manana.